my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 370. As this week, we bring you the second hour of WWE Taboo Tuesday 2004. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. As you know, my co-host Jim Valley is on a hiatus. Filling in for him this week, again, is the very talented and versatile John Paws of the two-man power trip. John, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 2004, and head to Milwaukee, which is actually pronounced Milwaukee, which is Algonquin for the good land?
Yes, I am ready. Hello, hello. Thank you for having me back again, Pat.
Well, thank you, John.
An honor and a pleasure. And I love the Wayne's World reference there. Did you know that Milwaukee had three socialist mayors? Did you know that?
I did know that, and I might remind our listeners that while John and I are regular visitors here to Milwaukee, Milwaukee has certainly had its share of visitors. The French missionaries and explorers were coming here as early as the late 1600s to trade with the Native Americans, John.
I love that movie. That is such a good movie.
Yes, it is. It is fantastic. By the way, let's see, for those people who are, let's talk about, we had a good week in the podcast rankings, thanks to you people. And thanks to John, thanks to John being on last week, I'm sure, number 89 ranked wrestling podcast in Canada this week, which is the highest we've done in Canada since April. April was back when Jim Valley and I were doing WrestleMania 4. So thank you very much for that. Also, our best, we're back up on the U.S. wrestling, on our U.S. wrestling podcast charts on Apple. In the top 150, best we've done in a month, and thank you very much. And I owe some of it to the unprecedented media blitz that has gone on this week, starting with John Paws having me on his podcast, The Two-Man Power Trip.
Yes. Which
you check your local listings. But, you know, if you're one of the few people who's not tired of hearing me talk about wrestling, then you should definitely check it out. That was a lengthy conversation, and I had a good time talking to John. And, you know, maybe in a few years when we do it again, I'll remember all the things I really should have put in this last time.
Yes, well said. For sure. We got to have you back on sooner than that, though. Way sooner than that.
Well, that's very kind of you, John. Also, Michael Saget, who was our last guest host, was talking about Way Back Playback on his wife's podcast. Which is not a wrestling podcast, but he was talking about his guest host stint. And we want to thank Michael for the publicity and for filling in and doing all the great things that he does as being our number one Way Back Playback fan. Also, of course, October is underway. You can get on our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback, where John and I will be going to continue our watch along of the Global Wrestling Federation and in 1991 and some weird wild stuff, I think, as Johnny Carson would say.
Weird and wild stuff. Yeah. Oh my God. And it's funny, they had a pretty good roster there for a little bit, Global.
Yeah. Yeah. And but once they started figuring out that the Nigerian money might not be coming in, things sort of dipped. But yeah, I mean, at the start, they had a lot of talent, and you know, and I mean, who knows if there'd actually been an investor looking to put money into Global once they got on ESPN. You know, maybe something could have come out of it.
To me, it's like, man, they had something, but you're right. It's like, obviously, when you stop paying the talent, you're going to lose the talent. So,
yeah,
man, they had it, then they lost it.
Well, it's sad, but you know, it happens from time to time. All right, and now since the second week here of a three-week run, talk about the culture. October 19th, 2004. Let's go back and what was happening on that date, a Tuesday. Your New York Times bestsellers, John. Number one fiction bestseller, The Dark Tower by Stephen King, and its second week at number one. I believe this is the seventh volume of that particular story. I'm not a Stephen King fan, but I certainly know about that when it was going on.
Not really too familiar with that one either. Didn't they recently make that into a movie?
Yes, they did. I don't remember how well it did. I also vaguely remember the number one nonfiction book on October 19th of 2004. America the Book by Jon Stewart and his writers Ben Carlin and David Yeverbaum. So very, very good guys. And this is probably Jim Valley's area as a former DJ, because I don't remember any of this at all. The number one Billboard song in the U.S. charts was Goodies by Ciara featuring Petey Pablo in its sixth week at number one.
Don't remember that at all. I remember Petey Pablo, but I don't remember that song at all.
I'm told it was a fine example of the crunk genre. Yes. And, you know, there's nothing, and there's nothing podcast listeners enjoy more than hearing middle-aged white people talking about getting crunk. So we'll move on. Top movie in the country, October 19th, 2004. Shark Tales, starring the voices of Will Smith and Renee Zellweger, in its third week at number one. Let's see. I believe, let's see. Who else? I think Robert De Niro was also in there. Yes. Undersea Adventure with, this is a competing animated feature, competing with Finding Nemo, I believe.
Yes. Yes. And not as good.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. Top news on this date, a mortar attack on an Iraqi National Guard base in Mushahideh, Iraq, killed 4 people. Also in Myanmar, General Kinyunt, his name is Kinyunt, I didn't say anything else. The Prime Minister of Myanmar was placed under house arrest. He was convicted and sent to prison for 44 years on corruption charges, of which he served 8 before being released. So it's a little bit different there. Okay, there we go. The night before was Monday Night Football on October 18th. The big matchup was the Rams hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Of course, this would be the St. Louis Rams. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a quarterback named Brian Greasy. In the end of the game, it was actually a good game, with the Rams defeating Tampa 28-21. Mark Bulger hit Torrey Big Game Holt for a 36-yard TD pass in the fourth quarter. Then on the final drive, Tim Brown fumbled at the Rams' 12-yard line after being hit by Aeneas Williams, and Jeremetris Butler recovers the fumble for the Browns. The Browns, I believe, went on to finish 8-8 that season. They were no longer the greatest show on turf. Oh, yeah, and what was going on against Taboo Tuesday? Well, I know nothing like this could happen today, but the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox were facing off in the baseball playoffs. This was game 6 of the American League Championship Series at Yankee Stadium. The Yankees have taken a 3-0 lead. Boston won the fourth and fifth games. And yes, Boston came back and won game 6, 4-2 on Mark Bellhorn's controversial reverse decision 3-run homer, where one of the Yankee fans knocked the ball back into play, and the umpires ruled it was actually a home run. Oh, and this game was known as the Bloody Sock Game in Boston, because Curt Schilling pitched with a torn tendon in his ankle, which had been sewn up by the Red Sox team physicians. Yeah, so there you have it.
Don't remind me of that.
I'm sorry.
Yes, yes, and bitter about this year too. But hey, about Brian Greasy, could watch him every game, really. This Monday and every Monday, he's the co-host for Monday Night Football.
Well, yeah, and or you can watch the Mannings do it. But yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I think it's been a reasonably decent season for Monday Night Football. Yeah, Brian Greasy did hit it big. His father, Bob Greasy, a Pro Football Hall of Famer and a college football announcer for many years, and now Brian's doing it. So congratulations to him. All right, I think we're ready to do the actual show. Now, we're going to pick up at 1 hour, 4 minutes, and 8 seconds. It should be about where we left off on Peacock. And, by the way, if you're on Peacock, Peacock has a crown jewel hub. That's where they've put, if you click on it, it has all the past episodes of Crown Jewel. Why you want to watch that is anybody's guess. Plus all the King of the Rings. And I think putting King of the Ring in with Crown Jewel, probably a great idea. Bring back King of the Ring. So.
And the Queen.
And the Queen,
Queen's
yes.
Crown, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
And page 3, we are back here on a lovely Sunday evening during the ad break. I'm here with John Paz, a legend. The Two-Man Power Trip does at least a dozen podcasts. So people are asking about our Patreon, because we have it, and we do these commercials each week to tell people that they can go on Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback, decide what tier they want. Each tier comes with the ability to get shows a day or two in advance, plus ad-free. Plus access to our vast archive, which now is up about 369 shows as of this week. And speaking of our Patreon, John and I are probably going to record something for Patreon right after this. So, we'll do a teaser right here. John, I'll give you some choices for what we might go over after this on Patreon. You can have we're covering 2004, October 2004. So it can be WWE from the fall 2004 time period, or TNA or TNA Impact from the fall 2004 time period, or you can go for what's behind door number 3.
Let's go door number three. Let's go with some random stuff here. What else you got?
Well, need something that we haven't done before, either on Patreon or on the main show. So how about we tackle something from the Global Wrestling Federation, which was on ESPN during the early 90s, featuring at least to the start a whole lot of good talent, and then later a whole bunch of the Dallas talent from the Sportatorium. I bet we can find one from that era, and we'll give it the once over and start doing a little bonus of that this week for the folks on Patreon. And if you miss Jim Valley during his absence, there's a whole lot of Jim Valley bonus material. There's all the bonus matches and shows that we've done. That'll be on the Black Scorpion tier if you want to check that out. Or if you want to become an advertiser, just drop the big payment in the advertiser tier, or just drop us an email. Find me at patmcneil@live.com. And John, what's your Patreon?
Patreon.com/TMPTEmpire.
Well, I think that makes a wonderful holiday present, getting a gift to the Wayback Playback patron and getting a subscription for somebody to the Two-Man Power Trip Empire.
I love it. That brings music to my ears. I love that idea.
Yes, plus you get out of listening to advertisements like this exact one, for example. And speaking of which, we'll get back to the program. Thank you very much for listening. It does actually make a great deal of sense. Okay, so Edge is staring off at somebody off screen with his Edgehead shirt on. Is that fair statement, what we see at 1 hour, 4 minutes, and 8 seconds?
I thought it was like a Rob Zombie shirt, but you're right, it is an Edge shirt. Oh my God.
It's an Edge shirt meant to look like a Rob Zombie shirt. How's that?
Perfect.
I think we got it. Okay, so let's all hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And here we go. And Edge is there in his Durango, number 95. Oh, wait, sorry.
Now you're singing Rob Zombie. Hey, Todd Grisham. Hey.
Yes, Edge is apparently not thrilled that instead of fighting Triple H for the title, he's going to be teaming with Benoit against La Resistance. Although Benoit and Edge were the ones who lost the titles to La Resistance in the first place, so
I guess wouldn't he? Make sense. Wouldn't he want revenge?
Yeah.
Possibly right. Want some revenge against La Resistance.
Right. No, he wants revenge. It's in the words of Jim Valley, hashtag because of the fans. Fans have disrespected him. He wants to be world heavyweight champion.
Come on.
I'll bet Edge gets to win that world heavyweight championship someday.
Yeah, probably a few times. Absolutely.
Yeah, but
now
Edge,
he's getting his home invaded.
But you have to admit, Edge as a heel in 2004, more interesting than Edge as a babyface.
Way more interesting, yes. And he'd become even more interesting after that.
Okay, so let me see. Okay. Three stipulations. One is the loser must be the servant to the winner. Two, loser wears a dress. Three, loser gets his head shaved. I have no idea what the fans are going to choose, of course. This is the big matchup between Eugene Dinsmore and his uncle, Eric Bischoff.
What do you think about this, not only gimmick for Eugene, but this angle that it's supposed to be related to Eric?
It put heat on Bischoff, which he already had. It gave some reason for Eugene being there because it didn't make sense otherwise. It was a dumb reason, but yes. Eric Bischoff in his gi, very nice.
He is a black belt.
Yes, he is. Oh my God, it's Eugene. There we go. Bring back La Parca. There we go. That's a fan right there.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Man. Nice. I just saw La Parca over the weekend at MLW. Oh. Nice.
Oh, hi, La Parca. You would have told him we said hi then.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, happy Columbus Day weekend and happy Canadian Thanksgiving either tomorrow or today, depending on when you're listening to this.
I was wondering what Trish Stratus was posting about. I was like, does she not know? But then I realized, oh, that's right. She's Canadian.
She's Canadian, right. Yes.
That's right.
So, yeah, perfect show for Canadian Thanksgiving, I guess.
Are you okay with this Eugene character?
It wasn't great. Although he was really over. I was wondering how they were going to, they talked about making Eugene a heel and revealing he had been faking it the whole time, which, gee, it's probably just as well they didn't do that.
Yeah, I was going to say it's just as bad as doing the gimmick to begin with, or maybe even worse.
Or they could have brought him back, brought him in as his brother, Nick Dinsmore, who was like,
yep. You know, yep.
Just evil. Yeah. That's, yeah. But, you know, I got to have Eugene on the live cast where he was plugging his promotion in South Dakota, and that was fun. I mean, this is how Nick Dinsmore finally made it, and you know, and he did make it, and he did make something out of this. So,
and it's funny because he was a good trainer, good wrestler, good worker, was around forever. Hell, he worked for Bischoff and WCW doing some, you know, enhancement stuff way before this. So just funny to think, like, world traveler, good worker, good hand. You're going to play this Eugene character, and that's the way you get on TV. And I mean, that's the way it works sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, they used him as Doink the Clown, and maybe using him as Doink would have been more dignified than this. I don't know, but, yeah. Oh, here we go.
You know the sign that he was getting over?
What was that?
Triple H wanted to work with him.
That's true. And wanted to beat him. Oh, no.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah. Eugene is not buying the fake injury angle. Oh. That should be a hint, referee.
Now, what's the backstory of Eugene? I've heard like rumors that they're were making fun of a fan. And if you watch I forget what it was, but there's an old tape where one of the fans, you know, they're showing the fans backstage and some like super fans, and his name was Eugene. You know, and he was a little bit, off or whatever. So I wonder if it was.
It wouldn't surprise me in the least, because that's kind of how Vince McMahon rolls sometimes.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Getting ideas from real life. All right, well, Eugene's got his jacket off finally, and Bischoff's in trouble here. Has he loaded the pads? Do you think he would have loaded his karate pads there for the kicks? Oh, the airplane spin.
Executed perfectly.
Yeah, and that move gets over, but almost nobody does it.
Yep, except maybe Brian Danielson once in a while.
Cesaro can do it. I know Cesaro.
Oh, Cesaro, absolutely. Absolutely, yep.
Cesaro's the best, yes. Okay, there he is. He's posing.
I love how he used to do all the finishers.
that was the best part, probably. Oh, somebody finally went through the leg drop. Oh, my goodness. Bischoff has lost. Yeah. I wonder what stipulation the fans have chosen.
Bischoff is an awesome heel, though, general.
He was great at it. I mean, yeah. He's one of those guys. It clicked. It really clicked with him. He'd been a student of the business. I mean, he was a decent wrestling announcer, but he was better in this role.
So. Yes. Yep. Hey, Vince. I know he did Mick McMemphis. He played a heel in the Mr. McMahon a little bit, but a lot of people say he got that Mr. McMahon character from watching Bischoff in WCW. I don't know if that's true or not, but
no, I think that Mr. McMahon character was percolating in Vince's brain for a while. But I'm sure seeing Bischoff succeed at doing it made it
right.
So
yep.
Yeah. Of course, Vince doesn't watch the competition, so.
Oh, yeah, true.
59% want to see Bischoff get his head shaved.
Oh, my God.
I'm shocked.
21% wanted to see him wear a dress. Wow.
I mean, not that it mattered what the results were going to be, because they were going to shave his head anyway, but.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, coach, please get down there and settle this. Get fix this.
Yeah. Coachman's going to volunteer to get his head shaved instead, I guess.
Look at this. What is he doing? Bischoff, like that ultimate, like, you know, that you get to laugh at him type heel. Like, he gets thrown in the garbage can. He gets his head shaved. He got his head shaved.
That's the way Vince saw him. So, yeah. And coach is trying to talk the fans into changing their votes. We're addressed for a month. Well, that's different, but no. Yeah, we shouldn't have said head shaved bald, because I don't remember them shaving him bald. All right.
No, definitely not.
No.
The jet black hair is gonna be shaved, is gonna be gray.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah. I don't know, man. Eric's doing this. Eric's doing his best here.
Yeah. Yep. Eugene's getting the crowd into it.
This is not going to end well for Coach. But then again, these skits never do. So. Okay. All right. All right.
Did you ever think that Coach was a little too big to be an announcer? Did that ever cross your mind about that?
That's probably the thinking. That's probably some of the thinking behind putting him out there as a wrestler as often as they did. And apparently, and Coach, I mean, you know, to be fair, Coach was quite serious about training, and he actually went and did indie shows and got bookings, you know, so he would learn, you know, to practice this. Oh, and who's going to come in to save the day and make sure Eric Bischoff gets his head shaved? Guess who? But I got to admit, outstanding use of, if you're going to use Vince McMahon, this is the spot to use him on the show.
Yep. That walk, priceless.
Yes. The walk where a few months later, he would tear both his quads, but you know, that's
not. Yes. Right. Yes.
Which is just the most amazing thing ever.
That might have been like the loudest I've ever laughed at like a wrestling show. Because, you know, usually their comedy is unintentionally not funny or just not good. That was hilarious, unintentional or not.
That was as good as Vince getting Rickrolled during the Million Dollar Call-In.
Oh, my God. That was great, too.
Yes. Okay. Right. Yes. Vince is going to say the fans have the authority, but. Right. Shave his head.
The crowd is pumped.
Yep. Hey.
This might have been the biggest reaction of the night.
Yeah. Yep. Your head. Shave bald. Ah! That's right.
You know what, though?
There's Vince, a fan with an Iron McMahonite.
You know, Vince also would do crazy stuff. You know, pees his pants. He got his head shaved.
He did. Yeah, but he made sure that it was for a big show. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Not Taboo Tuesday. It's got to be WrestleMania with Trump.
Right.
Your buddy Trump.
You get your head shaved or you're fired. There you go. Mm-hmm. There we go. Yeah, there you go. All right.
This is longer than the match by like 2 minutes at least.
Well, how much of this match did you actually want to see? Did you want it to be like when Flair, you know, when Bischoff wrestled Ric Flair and won? I mean, you know, no, we don't. All right, there we go. Okay, now where's the barb? Now again,
Starrcade 98 style.
This is when Brutus the Barber Beefcake should have brought him out, assuming he was, you know, anywhere near showing up.
Assuming that bombing incident didn't happen, or whatever the hell that was. Yeah. It would end up being cocaine, I think.
Yeah.
That was interesting. On AEW, they're doing the head shaving thing. I didn't quite get that. I don't know if they're just trying to be old school or what.
I think they're definitely trying to build up to Orange Cassidy and Matt Hardy, with Matt Hardy teasing getting his head shaved. So.
Old school angle.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Bishop's out of here. He's out of here. Nope. Fire him. He doesn't even care. Shave his head. Look at Coach.
Coach was like, no. You can't. If you get fired, think of what they're going to do to me. Yeah. Well, which is probably the same thing, stuff they're already doing to Coachman, but.
Yeah. Apparently, he does not have a good relationship with WWE anymore.
Coachman?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Things went south with that ESPN WWE. He was part of the, you know, he was, I guess, part of that ESPN WWE deal, and that thing went south, right?
Yes, big time.
Well, gee, imagine that. Plus, they brought him back only to phase him back out again.
Yeah, yep.
I think Coachman's probably did the right thing. Is Coachman still on the Madden games?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
He was last I heard.
What is? Oh no.
Oh yeah, there we go.
Oh no.
Oh my goodness.
I don't think the Clippers were working.
Yeah, probably not. Oh my goodness. The Clippers weren't working properly, and I don't think Eugene is a licensed stylist in the state of Wisconsin. Hey, Coach. You got to watch.
What was that awesome dance that The Rock used to make the coach do?
The Charleston? Carlton, yeah.
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 Oh, that was great. Those two had some great chemistry. Rock. They did.
Well, Rock had chemistry with, you know, pretty much all the interviewers.
I interviewed Coach, I want to say it was maybe a year ago or so, maybe 2 years ago, and he was saying him and The Rock would try to break each other, like see who
wanted
to make the other one laugh. Absolutely. You could tell going back and watching, like they definitely did.
Yep.
I love that. That's great.
That's how the business is.
Yep. Razz him. Gotta razz him.
Speaking of breaking him, I'm guessing Coachman was not apprised of this part in advance.
He's probably shocked. And then somebody in his ear is probably telling him, yep, get over there.
All right, come on. Go ahead and do it, Coach. Come on, you know how he gets.
Yep.
Now take your pants off. I hope he's wearing underwear, too. No offense, Coach. No, he's wearing underwear. Okay. Well, it could be worse. It could look like me. I mean, geez. Oh.
Do you remember in TNA when James Mitchell shaved Raven's head?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Remember that scalp he left in his head? He literally scalped him. That was crazy.
Yes, he did. That was, James Mitchell and Shane Douglas. Yeah, the article, if you go back in the Torch archive, the PW Torch archives, which, you know, the Torch is... I mean, obviously, we work with the Torch because we have them. You know, we have the with archives from Jim and I on PW Torch on there. The column Bruce Mitchell wrote after the week after that was hilarious. You know, it was right in the middle of Wade doing the Ravens Torch talk. So he's like part three and a half of Raven's Torch talk, and the you know the fake column opens with Raven. Ow! 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 Ow!
Man, he still, if you see Raven today, he still has that like mark there, and the hair doesn't grow.
Oh my goodness.
It's horrible.
I was trying to figure out why Vince had his arm around the mannequin, but.
Yeah. Vince is a weirdo. I don't think these Clippers are that great.
They're not. I mean, you think they would have tested them out beforehand. Yeah. I don't know who they could have tested them out on.
It's taking Eugene.
You dye your hair, don't you?
He does dye his hair.
Yeah, he's got to learn how to do Grecian formula like I do. It looks a little more natural.
I'd say just leave it the way it is right now and just make him look really goofy and then shave it backstage.
Yeah, there you go. Vince is like, let's get this over with. Okay, take him backstage. He looks ridiculous now. Oh my goodness. Coach is not happy. Bischoff is not happy. That you get what you want. Angry heels.
And the crowd is loving it.
Yeah, okay. All right, now how are we gonna top that? Well, we're not, but we're gonna try.
I feel like that segment ran a little long.
Yeah, it probably did. Oh, goodness. Oh, here we go. Shawn Michaels getting taped up for his match, which will be on next week's episode.
Edge is talking shit to him. Yeah.
Talking trash, man.
So this Michaels injury is legit, though, right? If I remember correctly,
Yep, it happened on Raw, right? The night before the show, right.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yes.
So they made him do the match anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they did. Well, you know, I mean, they could have dropped him out and put somebody else in.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, but why would why would Sean give up a pay-per-view payout, though?
That is true.
All right, time for the World Tag Team titles. This one's already been decided. There's no stipulations. It's just La Resistance against Edge and Benoit. The con man, Rob Conway, Sylvain Grenier.
The Did World you like Tag Team this group without Dupree?
Not really. I mean, the only thing I remember memorable about them is these guys winning the titles in Canada where they were baby faces.
Mm-hmm. That was odd.
That was odd. But, I mean, why not do it, you know, but why not do it that way, you know? I mean, imagine that wrestlers going over in their hometown, you know, where they have a home field advantage or home ring advantage.
I love that WWE, like, even recently, Bianca Belair, she was at Knoxville.
Right.
And they're pumping it up. She's wearing the orange. They're pumping up the volunteers. Kane is there. She gets the key to the city. I'm just waiting for him. Like, okay, I know she's going to get beat up. Ready and she gets beat up.
Yep. Waiting for them to pull the rug out from under.
Yep. Why? It's like every damn time the home field person loses. Isn't that the opposite of what you should do when the person's in their hometown?
Yes, pretty much. But that's what wrestling does. That's wrestling. We don't do wrestling. We're sports entertainment.
Man, I feel like it all started with Bulldog losing to Michaels for the European title. I feel like that.
It's not exactly a decades old tradition, though.
Yeah.
So, like they told Davey Boy, they were setting up for a big rematch, which.
Yeah, one night only was one night only because there was no rematch.
Nope.
That was
all crazy. Right. Awful
and
singing.
Didn't need that title.
Yeah.
I prefer Conway and Dupree together. I feel like those two are the best.
Well,
the best
actually, they were good. But right now, I believe this is about the time on SmackDown they had
Dupree and
Kenzo Suzuki. Yeah,
legendary.
And I think they held the tag titles for a while. Oh, goodness.
Dupree's actually pretty good.
Yeah, he was. It's kind of sad that he didn't make it. You know.
Yep. He said, who knows, a lot of bullying going on back there.
A lot of bullying. Plus, you know, you mess with Bob Holly's rental car. I mean, geez.
Yes, yes.
That's never good.
I was at a show with Bob Holly. This had to be like 4 years ago. And Dupree was there, and Dupree had been talking, you know, talking stuff about him. So Hardcore Holly went right up to him, and he's like, what are you saying about me, Bob? It was not that they were going to fight, but he got like right in his face, and Dupree not apologize, but he kind of backed off. He's like, got a lot of stuff going on. And he's like, we know we've had our past, and they kind of squashed it. But it was just funny. It's like, wow, Hardcore Holly does not like mince words at all. If you say something about him, he's going to friggin' grab your face.
Yep. Okay.
And Dupree is not a small guy. He's
no,
big,
he's a
big guy.
Big enough, yeah.
6'5". I mean, he's pretty big. There is Chris Benoit.
This was 2004 was Benoit's year. I mean, he won the Rumble, won the main event of WrestleMania, had a great match, had another great match at Backlash, and
SummerSlam. I know he loses to Orton, but that's a great match.
It was a great match, but he realized that I think Bill Simmons wrote about it. He's getting his gold watch, you know.
Yeah.
And he was not happy. He was not ready to be phased out. Oh, let's see. Oh, okay, and the keyboard actually says WWE. Okay, I get it now.
And phased out also Triple H and gets the title back.
Well, yeah, eventually, yes. Well, at least they didn't have Hunter beat him to get the title back.
Yes, thank God, yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know.
Are you one of those fans that doesn't like Benoit anymore? Obviously, what he did was terrible.
I mean, he was a tremendous wrestler, and I think Jericho explained it very well in the book of his introductions. Like, he's like, I can only write about the Chris Benoit I know. The guy who killed his family, I didn't know. Yeah, that guy I didn't know.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I and basically, people who were there handle it differently. I mean, I I interviewed Rhino a few times. The first time, you know, I was going to ask him about him being champion with Benoit. He's like, I would prefer not to talk about that. Like, yes, sir, Mr. Rhino, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but it's interesting. Some people like, no, I don't even like Benoit anymore. He stunk or something. I'm like, what in the world?
He did not stink.
Yeah, he's arguably the best.
It happened. Yeah, you know, it happened. It's like O.J. Simpson, you know, getting 2,000 yards in a season. I mean,
right.
You know, if you study history, it happened. You're not going to pretend it didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can't take that away from him.
Plus, I suspect that this was the guy who went nuts and killed himself and his family wasn't, you know, I think that was a different guy. I mean,
right. Not an insane. Mind,
Definitely not.
Oh, what a bump by Conway. Jeez.
Yeah, Conway was good. I liked him.
Another guy from the same OVW school as Dinsmore. I mean, he could train guy, good worker, right. great look.
Conway and Dinsmore, I remember, yeah, they were a good tag team together.
Yep.
They, of course, never used them as a tag team. So.
It's funny, Conway, a few years ago, remember, he's NWA champions, traveling to New Japan. Wrestling Tenjin and Kojima and having big.
It wasn't that long ago. No, you're right.
Yeah.
Well,
crazy that he didn't. I know he had a good run at WWE, but it's crazy. That, I don't know. Some of the guys that they don't keep around, I'm always fascinated. Like,
yeah,
why not?
I mean, they eventually you find out there's a reason, but you know, but until you do, I mean, until they tell you, then you just don't know, right?
Yeah. He seems like one of those guys who would be like a great hand to train like the next guy, you know.
Right.
You get the rookies coming up, he could work with them. Whether they want to do a little mini feud or they want him to job, I mean, he could work with
them. Yeah, but there are so many, you know. I mean, I understand why they do it the way that they do it because, you know, there's only so many spots that open at the performance center and, you know, having guys cycle through is probably having guys and ladies cycle through is probably for the best. I'm amazed that they used Sarah Del Rey as a trainer and never put her in the ring in any of their deals.
Yeah, I always thought the same about Adam Pearce. I mean, he's older now, although he's really what 41 or something. I mean, he's not terribly old.
He's not. He's still within that WWE main event age, so he's fine.
But it's crazy that they never used him.
But when they used him in Ring of Honor while he was booking, the Ring of Honor fans went nuts. He can't, you know, he's not good enough. He's a booker. Yeah. He's not good enough. Plus, he's the booking. Why is he doing this? Yeah.
I disagree with those fans.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the thing where, you know, it's the thing where if you're the booker, you think about ways to put yourself in there. And, I mean, really, the only way you can sort of stop from doing that is to make the deal where if you're booking, you can't be a worker too. But I mean, even then, you've seen there are several instances where the writers manage to work their way into the show.
Right, of course.
And you can't, and it's hard to blame them really. Get that extra money. Okay, there's Benoit. Yeah, there is. This is about as, I'm not going to use the word heatless, but this is pretty close to it. Yeah. I mean, La Resistance is not over. And, you know, you've reminded people that, you're going to see Shawn and Triple H tonight.
Yeah, so this is like the consolation
prize. Oh, wow, that did not go well.
Oh, this is the consolation prize. You could tell Grenier did not listen to whatever Benoit told him to do right there.
Chris is not happy.
Yeah, he's not happy with him.
But Chris is not. But Chris is just going to chop him. That's.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not like Rick Steiner, where Rick throws you off the ropes, gives you a concussion, and leaves you laying in a heap.
Right.
Get a few chops, leave him to the tender mercies of Edge. There we go.
What do you think about Benoit as being one of the best ever? Do you put him in that category or no?
In terms of a technician, I thought he was great. I thought that he was, at the end, almost criminally underutilized in WCW. And, you know, I mean, I was as happy as anybody when I saw it, when he finally won the title. I'm like, okay, this guy deserves it. And, you know, but his title reign, you know, outside of the rematch, his title reign was nothing special and was overshadowed by Shawn feuding with Triple H again, deliberately.
Yep. I always felt like he was one of the very, very few guys that could legit have a good match with anyone.
Yeah.
That's rare case of a guy that could literally just anybody, you could have a good match.
Okay. I mean, and you know, he was so good. And, you know, when he worked Eddie, you know, when he worked Eddie all those times in WCW and ECW, it actually didn't matter who he was working. He was good. I mean, he's the guy Bret Hart wanted to have that tribute match to his brother with.
Yep.
Which was just, you know, very, very emotional to watch.
Great match.
Yeah.
Maybe his best WCW match, Bret.
Yeah, I think so. Probably because he got the time he needed to do it. All right.
It's funny too, if you go back and watch like Nitro and stuff, you're like, man, Benoit is kind of the dark horse of like every Nitro. He'll be wrestling Ming, it'll be great. Yeah. He'll be wrestling DDP, it's great.
He was one of your glue guys, you know. You need somebody to go out there and have a good match while you do whatever. Yeah, that's it.
When WCW lost him, I was like, man, that is a way bigger loss than they thought. That was just
a huge screw up.
Insanely bad. Mm-hmm. All those guys is bad, but him especially was the worst.
Him while he was the champion. I mean, that's just dumb. Well, you know, but you know, I mean, we could do our own podcast of how dumb WCW was, and I'm sure there are many podcasts like that out there. So
yes,
but people do. You know, I mean, fans of the show do love stories about how dumb WCW was. So.
Apparently, Sid didn't really want a job to him. Apparently,
well, no, Sid not a big fan of jobbing in general. And you know, and this guy's shorter than I am. What's going on here?
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't Kevin Nash I'm working with. I mean, God, you know, you think about how close Sid was to getting really hugely pushed wherever he worked, and you know, yeah. Sid managed to undercut himself though.
Yes, big time.
All right.
Always over though. Always over.
Oh yeah. I mean, you get him out there with that look. Yeah. You got to be a horseman just for looking like that.
Yep. Here we go.
There we go. There's nothing wrong with this match, but there's nothing, you know, spectacular about it either.
Yeah, the crowd seems like they're not that into it.
Yeah.
You're right. The La Resistance do not have a lot of heat here.
Yep.
Oh, here we go. Now maybe you got some heat going with the flag. I hope.
Yeah, so I got some heat.
Yeah, give him the finger.
I mean, you're in Wisconsin. How much do you really hate Canadians, though? You know?
Yeah, that's true. You probably got a bunch of them there. What was Grenier's background? Was he a model before?
He was an indie wrestler up there who got to know Patterson, I think. I think that was the. I mean, I'll go pull this up, but I think that's the main deal. And he got in that one shot as a referee.
Yes.
Yep. As the heel referee for Rock. Yep. Logan Grenier, Canadian TV host and semi-retired professional wrestler. Oh, the WWE producer. Well, okay. Interesting. Oh. Let's see. Four-time world tag team champion. All right.
Good look. No doubt about it.
Oh, he auditioned for Tough Enough. Okay. And while he was in Florida training, he met Pat Patterson, became good friends. They have similar backgrounds. And got tryout matches as Sly Grenier. Went to Ohio Valley. While he was in Ohio Valley, he was a special guest referee for Rock and Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
And then did the spot at WrestleMania 19. And there we go. And La Resistance. Okay. Hey, all right. There we are.
He definitely had a good look. Oh, look, screwed that up. He did not want to take that chop.
No, nobody does. But taking that chop ensures that nothing worse happens to you. Oh, geez. Okay, so let's see. An interview, Benoit stated that he loved teaming with Conway, saying, "Rob made me love wrestling again." Well, that's good. Won the titles in Montreal. Let's see here. Okay. Then there we go. All right. And they won the titles. Okay, wow. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. Team split up in May 2005. Okay. And, yeah. All right. There you go.
That was a great bump there by Benoit.
All right, 2006 Royal Rumble, and let's see, gets taken off of television. All right, then they tried to bring him back, and geez, yeah, okay. La Resistance reunion in OVW. All right,
he had a decent run.
Yeah, no, he did have a decent run. Then he became after he left WWE, he became a French commentator for TNA Impact. Oh, good for him. Let's see. All right, and then he hit the independent circuit for forever. So, oh my goodness, let's see. He lost a big match in IWS to Kevin Steen. All right.
Interesting.
Okay. IWS is the promotion that, let's see. Yeah. My friend, the late LaCour, Mike, worked for. Okay.
Would you want to get chopped by Benoit?
What's that?
Would you want to get chopped by Benoit?
I mean, if I was getting paid for it, I would, but you know.
Okay. Because they just look vicious.
I mean, just not for the not for the fun of it, no. I mean, and he's not, he's not the worst guy you could get chopped by. He's probably in the top 10, but you know.
Yes. I always felt that Kurt Angle stole his moveset a lot from Benoit.
Well, hey, if you're gonna steal from somebody, you know.
Why not?
Are you gonna go out and steal, Sylvain Grenier's moveset or?
What moveset?
Nothing against him, but
Edge is showing a lot of cockiness, arguing with the fans. Yeah, a lot of heel
the
stuff.
Referee and walking away. Like, hey. He's like, I don't need this.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, Edge isn't going to leave the match. Well, he might.
Thinking about it.
Yeah. He's joking. He's like, yeah, I'm out of here. So if you're smart, if you're smart and you're these guys, why not just get yourselves disqualified? Knowing you'll never have to face these guys again.
Right.
Where's Edge going?
Where's he going?
Yeah. He's getting his bag? He's getting his bag.
He was sitting right there?
Yeah, check with the valet. They checked it. I guess he checked it with the valet, whoever the hell that is.
He's out of town. Wow.
He's out of Milwaukee.
What an a-hole. He left Benoit alone.
Yeah, he did. I think they're in Chicago the next night, so he's going to leave a little early.
And this is going to be the longest match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the car is on.
All right. Somebody went out and warmed up his car for him. That was nice.
Imagine how lucky you are if you're Edge, you get to just leave early.
Yeah, no kidding. I never get to leave work early.
Yeah, right? Damn.
Okay.
Doing some rest holds here while the camera make sure they don't miss any shots.
In case Benoit didn't know what had happened to his partner, they're showing it on the big screen for him. So that was nice of them.
While he's getting choked out. Why don't you watch your partner betray you?
Why don't you let your partner leave and walk out on you? Oh, no. And Jerry Lawler, who apparently has never seen WWE before, thinks it's impossible for one man to win a handicap match against a tag team.
Can't remember the last time the tag team won.
Yeah.
Even though the psychology of it would tell you differently. The
psychology of it is completely messed up, but it should happen extremely rarely if it ever happens.
Superplex! What a move.
Yep.
There's no way well, Ben Watt can win this, team. Though, right? There's no
Crowd's
way.
Crowd's into this now. Genius move by Edge. They got the heat back.
Yep.
I'm impressed. Okay, here we go.
It always seemed like that, too, especially WWE Benoit matches. The crowd maybe starts up slow, but by the end, they're cheering for him, and
they're building,
they give him the and they give him the standing ovation, usually.
Here we go. German suplex. And he's being a little more careful in how he throws those, obviously, in 2004.
Yep.
None of this 10 German suplexes in a row crap. There you are. There's one. Yeah. There we go. Boom. Off the apron. There we go.
Oh, he's got it. He's got it.
That's how we can do it. Yeah. It's a LaBelle lock.
He's got him.
It's cripple the cross lock. Face.
It's, cripple it's cross face.
Cripple cross face. I know. Yes, 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 yes.
Now the crowd's into it.
Oh, yeah. Grani did a great job here. He's selling. He's just selling it just enough. You know, it's like
Conway. Like, Conway.
Oh, Conway. It's Conway. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, just desperate to get out. Can't get out. You know.
Great reaction for the win there.
Hey.
Nice.
Making Benoit look like a killer.
Yep.
So to speak. Hey. Congratulations. Another first tonight. Yeah. Okay. I'm sure they've done this bit before, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tag team champions, Benoit and Benoit.
Technically, Benoit and Edge, who just betrayed him, is his tag partner.
Wow, boy.
Can't believe WWE did that.
How is this going to go forward?
How can they coexist?
We never had tag team partners feuding with each other before.
I love that. How can these two coexist? You think that makes La Resistance look bad? Or is that okay that they just lost him 2-on-1?
Well, they already looked bad, but yeah, no, it's not okay. No, that's one of those tropes I do not like. That should happen. That should be like a once every few years thing, or it should be
I just remember like Ring of Honor in the 2000s. Like anytime a tag team faced two individuals, the tag team always won. I was like, see, that's the psychology of it. Like in WWE, it's the exact opposite.
Right.
The team never wins. It's always the ones that aren't getting along. Mm-hmm. Kind of doesn't make sense.
Vince is not a big fan of tag team wrestling because it involves paying, four wrestlers for a match instead of two. And you don't get to pay them half as much.
What do you think of Todd Grisham, by the way?
He's obviously, he's better now, but he just looks like somebody sent out the kid from the school paper to do these interviews compared to,
Yep.
And if he had been, if he had been knowledgeable about pro wrestling, that would be one thing, but
He's a big MMA guy.
Yeah. He's done great for himself. He's good at MMA. Yeah. There's no way Shawn Michaels. He's Shawn Michaels is scammy. He's not really hurt.
Do you feel like the Triple H Shawn Michaels feud went on a little too long at this point?
Yes, it did.
It was like never ending at one point.
Yeah, it was. They ended it. They ended it at Bad Blood 2004. That should have been the end of it, but now let's bring it back for Taboo Tuesday. Let's do it again. Right. I guess this is the end of the feud. I don't know. Speaking of the end, boy, this is going to be something. What we have here next. This is going to be bowling shoe ugly, I guess. You remember the Diva Search?
Oh yeah.
We got something coming up here.
The original Carmella.
That's right. Shut up a minute. Thank you, JR.
I don't know if she's the most beautiful woman in all of WWE, but Carmella was up there.
She's fantastic, yeah. Wives, and she was one of the wives of the NFL. I mean, not at the time, but Shawn Michaels really get really hurt. Yeah, you tear up your knee like that, you know. Have you ever torn ligaments in your knee? It's no fun.
I haven't, but I would imagine it's not.
Oh, that's right. They did the Raw the previous night, so they're at the end of their tour. Edge can go home.
Go home, Edge.
Yeah, he's in tremendous pain. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. You got to, you know. All right, here he is, Christy Hemme, Carmella De Cesaro. Fans pick the stipulations for this one. Is it an evening gowns match, a lingerie pillow fight, or an aerobics challenge? I think we can eliminate aerobics challenge, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to go with B on this one, the lingerie
pillow. Yeah, I think that might work very well. Oh, my goodness. Carmella and Christy do not get along. And just people hated Carmella De Cesaro backstage.
Wasn't she married to Jeff Garcia?
Yeah, she did get married. She's still married to Jeff Garcia, as far as I know.
Oh, nice.
And she was in Playboy.
Yes, yes.
I mean, before this.
Right, that's probably where they saw her, scouted her from. Christy Hemme, I have no idea what her background was.
Yeah, well, I remember she got interviewed about it on Howard Stern. So Vince McMahon, yeah, so all the divas have to bang Vince McMahon, isn't that right? No, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, there's legit tension here between Carmella and
I can't believe there's a video package for this feud.
Well, you know, they gotta let the fans know what happened here. I mean, they have all that footage.
Seems like a little bit of a waste of airtime.
You think? Well, this is what the people want. They want to see bras and panties.
Very true, especially at this point.
Okay, having partnered with the Diva Search, blah 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 blah. Oh, what was she doing before this? Modeling career. Okay, here we go. She took part in the 2004 Lingerie Bowl. Oh, and she was on The Man Show as one of the Juggy Dancers. Okay.
Okay.
There we go. She got it, made it into Playboy in 2005 after getting the permission of her father. Okay, well, that's... I'm horrified. I am, my daughter is three, I'm horrified now. Oh, she kisses Lillian Garcia.
Wow, I don't remember that.
No, I don't either.
And she gets Eugene, wow.
Okay, well, there you go. And suddenly, since she was suddenly departed WWE, let's see, on her own terms, which is not what I heard, but okay. Let's see, they sent her back to OVW, yeah. And then when she didn't want to, yeah. Okay, there we go.
Do you think that they really get that money?
I think what happened was it's supposed to be it's $250,000. There's a 1-year $250,000 contract. So let's see. September 20th, 2004. And when did she leave? They dropped her as soon as, you know, pretty much almost as soon as the year ended, the 1 year ended. So yeah.
It's weird. Whoever wins their contest, they always fire them. Like they immediately.
Because they resent them. Because everybody resents them because they're earning actual money.
But shouldn't you push them because they won your stupid contest?
That's the part. Yeah, yeah. But by the end of the year, they hate them. You know.
Because didn't the girl? I know Wesley Blake married her. I forget her name.
Oh, geez.
Sarah Lee, right?
She yeah.
Won. Yeah, she wins. She they won, don't
she
use her.
She reported to. She reported to the performance center. Blake knocked her up, and she was done with wrestling.
And Mandy Rose, who finished second, is obviously prominently not only was in WWE, but now prominently used on NXT.
But see, that was the fan voting. The people behind the scenes wanted Mandy Rose. which is why they had Miz out there, you know, hyping her every week and Graves and all that. But, you know, the fans wanted Sara Lee. Yeah. And nobody doesn't like Sara Lee, by the way.
Great commercial. Thank you. Okay. I always found it just fascinating. It's like, didn't the Miz not win Tough Enough either?
That's right, he didn't. Daniel Pewter.
And I feel like Johnny Nitro half won it and then got fired for a little bit and then they brought him back.
He did not. I don't remember. Yeah, it was him and Capitelli, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. And a shocking development. 57% of people want to see the lingerie pillow fight. Hey, there you go. Or as Coach calls it, a good old-fashioned lingerie pillow fight. You know, just like your grandma used to have with her sister. I don't know. I mean, just like they used to have in the Waltons, you know, old fashioned. Oh, there we go. Oh, look, they have, look at all the types of lingerie they have to choose from.
Do you think any way possible is 4 million votes?
Well, let's see. I mean, you could vote as many times as you wanted, so why not? They probably had the writers back there clicking their brains out.
But if there's only 175,000 people watching the pay-per-view, that make it almost impossible.
Well, let's see. It cost money to watch the pay-per-view. It cost nothing to vote.
Okay, all right. I love these screens.
Oh yeah. We need like the Austin. This is like the Austin Powers.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Come on, Carmella. Yeah, Carmella's like, no, thank you.
You are definitely a big Mike Myers fan.
Sorry.
Austin Powers references, Wayne's World references. I love it.
This might be, well, geez, I mean, this is kind of sort of the stuff that the writers were giving off back in this era too. So it all works together. I mean, geez, you know, Jillian Hall's entire gimmick was based on a bit from an Austin Powers movie.
Yeah. Yep, which is so weird.
Yes.
Not the Austin Powers. That's the fact that they stole that from there. And
they stole that completely, yes. Okay.
Fred Savage, I think, is the one with the mole from the movie, if I remember.
Moly, yes, I remember. That's right. Oh, here we go. Tough Enough 3. John Hennigan and Matt Capitelli win. Let's see. Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter reveals that the contestant Lisa was revealed from the show after what was referred to as a psychotic breakdown.
Whoa. Wow,
she broke into the hidden MTV control room and worked her way onto the roof, got talked down by the producers, and was committed to a medical facility to receive psychiatric treatment.
That sounds like a WWE term. Medical facility.
Yes, well, that I made it into a medical facility. Oh, she's wearing a robe. Very nice, Carmella. Okay. Her parents flew in from New Mexico to pick her up, but she physically attacked them, claimed she did not know them. She escaped custody at LAX. They shut down a wing of the airport trying to find her. She checked herself out of the hospital shortly thereafter, called Tough Enough, telling she was ready to come back to the show. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it took him so long to get dressed. That was weird.
God, yeah. Well, yeah.
This is way longer than the match.
Lisa then just showed up at Ohio Valley. Right, okay. And she talked her way backstage to the show in California. Oh, good grief. Oh, wow. Let's see. Yep. Yeah. That's nuts. Okay. Winner will be determined by pinfall, as you do in a lingerie pillow fight.
Yes.
A submission really wouldn't be appropriate. Okay, come on, Christy. Hurry it up here. Yeah, there was a rumor Christy got fired for somehow pissing Stephanie McMahon off. I don't know how that would have happened, though. So.
You never know.
Yeah. Anyway,
heard some crazy stories.
I got to interview Lance Hoyt and Jimmy Rave and together, and they both said Christy was awesome. They never had a problem with her. So
nice.
But yeah,
can't imagine anybody having a problem with her. But hey,
Well, Carmella does. Here we go. Hey, ladies. If you'll please disrobe. Okay. They have disrobed. All right. And now they're going to make out. No, wait, wrong movie. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no.
Uh-oh, what is that?
The false. Oh, my goodness. She's padded her. No, she's padding.
Oh.
Oh, boy. Prearranged spot.
Girl was in Playboy. You think she's padding her bra? I mean, come on, WWE.
Yeah, take that. It's like, I don't need these pads to beat you in a pillow fight. Good bump for a shove like that. Okay. Yeah, Mrs. McNeil would probably not find this appropriate. This right. is what 2004 WWE was, though.
Right.
Actually, I don't think she finds... Anyway. There's a lot of stuff in wrestling that's not appropriate, and especially not appropriate for small kids, so just remember that.
True.
Oh, my goodness, that poor referee.
Jack Doane, you got a bad... Refereeing,
yeah, oh my God, they're rolling around in feathers. Oh, the humanity.
Carmella doesn't seem like the greatest athlete in the world.
Well, really, that's not necessary, I don't
think. Yeah, not for now, no.
Oh my goodness. Somebody's going to have to clean that up.
Get that pillow.
Guy with a cell phone. Sit down, guy with a cell phone. It's 2004. You're not supposed to settle down here.
You know Jerry Lawler's probably loving it.
Oh, yeah. All right, going for the cover, hooking the leg. Good job, Christy. There we go. Always hook the leg. Christy Hemme, 1-0 in the WWE. Congratulations.
I feel like Carmella's shoulder was up.
Well, no, the referee was right there. He was in position.
Oh, all right, all right.
As far as I know. We haven't seen the replay, though. All right, yay.
We had two women's matches for a combined 8 minutes.
Well, that's about the length that they thought women's matches should go back then. I wouldn't have wanted that to go any longer.
Yeah, no, that was perfect.
Yeah, that's
took
perfect.
Longer for them to get dressed.
All right, and I think that's where we're going to call it a night here for Taboo Tuesday. We're going to put a hit stop at 1 hour, 59 minutes and 35 seconds, and back after this ad break.
Do you want to go behind the scenes at World Championship Wrestling and find out what really happened from one of the greatest minds in the history of the business? The infamous booker behind WCW's success with the New World Order. Other podcasts weren't there. Let's clean up the fantasy bullshit. Give you real facts and real stories with the Taskmaster himself. Yes, this is Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan, available on the Creative Control Network.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
All right, so that's two-thirds of this show off of the... Two-thirds of this show done, but still to come. Let's see, we have... there's a special stipulation matchup due between Randy Orton and Ric Flair, and still to come, Shawn Michaels and Triple H for the WWE World Heavyweight title. And that'll make for some fun. You're welcome back next week if you want to, John. Otherwise, we can find one of our other Masters of Mayhem to contribute here.
Yeah, we got to finish it, I feel like. We watched two-thirds. We got to finish it. And interestingly enough, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, not the main event. Orton Flair is interesting.
Yes, and Orton Flair, that does turn out to be interesting, actually. So remember that, folks. Also remember that I am on Twitter at RealPatMcNeil. Jim Valley is on Twitter at Jim Valley and is still talking. And somebody wrote a nice article about him at Cauliflower Alley, which I put a link to up on my account. And John Paws is at Two Man Power Trip, And no matter where you find us, go ahead and leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever your pods are cast. Tell your friends about the show. Visit our Patreon, patreon.com/WaybackPlayback, facebook.com/WaybackPlayback Podcast. And, of course, if you would like to know more about Eric Bischoff, Eugene Dinsmore, Chris Benoit Edge, or Christy Hemme, you can visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or The Wrestling Observer, or go check out your local library app, as they're all in books. John.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @2manpowertrip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. And, of course, Patreon, patreon.com/tmptempire.
Very good. And but you have forgotten your line, which is...
Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, we will definitely be back here next week for that as we are wrapping. Yeah, next week it'll be the 17th anniversary of this show. And and by the way, kids, start thinking about what you want us to watch next after Taboo Tuesday is done, as we head into the end of October. And of course, we still have still to come this year, our special Thanksgiving episode, and we're gonna have an episode on Christmas this year. So Christmas is a Sunday, so we got that going for us, which is nice. Until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.